Listen, everybody, to the words I have to say. Better get ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White III with the Second Coming Watch update. This is update number 887. Let's take a quick look at today's prophecy-related headlines, which point towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it. First, under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East, according to Israel National News, Khalil Ahya, a member of Hamas's political bureau and one of the group's senior leaders in Gaza, warned that the Israeli occupation will pay a very high price if it attacks Gaza. Al-Aya noted that the statements made in Israel regarding an Israeli military operation in the Gaza Strip are part of the election campaign and do not scare the Palestinian resistance organizations. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told Channel 13 News that if Hamas does not take control of Gaza, there will be no option other than to act systematically. Maybe that means a war. I look the residents of the South in the eye, and I understand their distress. Foreign Minister Israel Katz said last Sunday that Israel's conflict with the terrorist organizations in Gaza is close to reaching the tipping point, and warned that in the next campaign, it is clear that the top leaders of the terrorist organizations will be wiped out and its force destroyed. Second, today, under the sign category, if you will, of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Jerusalem Post, a Twitter account affiliated with Hezbollah posted a photo of the terror organization's new missile, which he says is capable of destroying all military battleships. Our new missile is capable of destroying all military battleships, killing all who are on board, wrote the Hezbollah activist. Earlier this year, Hezbollah released footage and pictures of the anti-ship missile that struck the INS Hanit during the 2006 Second Lebanon War, an incident that killed four Israeli soldiers in one of the most significant attacks against the IDF in the war. In a documentary called Army to be Drowned, aired on Hezbollah's Al Manar TV channel, mocking the war, the group aired reconnaissance footage of the ship from the Lebanese coastline, preparations for the launch of the missile, the operations room which directed the strike, as well as nighttime footage which showed the impact of the Chinese-made C-802 anti-ship cruise missile. Third today, under the assigned category of wars and rumors of wars, according to Israel National News, U.S. Defense Secretary Mike Esper said on Monday that the U.S. military is preparing a response to the attack on major Saudi Arabia oil facilities after briefing Donald Trump in the White House. Esper singled out Iran as undermining international order without directly pinning blame on Tehran for the attack. The United States military, with our interagency team, is working with our partners to address this unprecedented attack and defend the international rules-based order that is being undermined by Iran, he said in a tweet. Saudi Arabia said that the drone strikes on its key oil facilities disrupted about half of the kingdom's oil capacity, or 5% of the daily global oil supply. Yemen's Houthi rebels took responsibility for the attacks, saying 10 drones targeted state-owned Saudi Aramco oil facilities in Abqa and Kuwait, while Iran sponsors the Houthi rebels. It has long denied that it is doing so and rejected accusations that it is behind Saturday's attack. Fourth today, under the sign category of increased persecution of believers, according to Christian Today News, a North Korean propaganda video obtained by Voice of the Martyrs portrays Christians as religious fanatics and spies operating on behalf of the South Korean government. Voice of the Martyrs believes the video was used in training for North Korean security agents to help them identify and root out anyone spreading religion within the hermit communist country. The video tells the story of a woman called Cha Duk-sun, who flees to China to find her uncle after suffering from hunger during the Great Famine of the 90s, in which millions are believed to have died. Arriving in China, she discovers that her uncle is dead, but she finds instead the Sutop Church, where she hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time and gives her life to Christ. She is described as naively believing a superstitious religion and absurdly trying to establish the kingdom of God. According to the video, Duk-sun returns to North Korea having been sent on a spying mission by the enemy to establish an underground church network. She was eventually caught by the authorities after being betrayed by a good and awakened North Korean citizen. Voice of the Martyrs believes she may have died in a labor camp or been executed by a firing squad. North Korea is ranked number one on the Open Doors World Watch list of countries where Christians experience the worst persecution. Fifth today, under the sign category of turmoil in the Middle East, according to Israel National News, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani met in Ankara with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Rouhani blasted Israel, saying that recently the Zionist enemy has doubled its attacks in Syria and has even extended them to Lebanon and Iraq. The nations of the region have the right to defend themselves against these attacks, and therefore the enemy must bear responsibility. There have been several attacks against Iranian-affiliated Iraqi militias in recent weeks that have been attributed to Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic passage of scripture that we are looking at today is Jeremiah 33:14-18, which reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely." And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Allow me to share with you some commentary on this passage from Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation by Dr. Tim LaHaye, who is now home with the Lord, and Dr. Ed Heinsohn. Verses 17 and 18 promise perpetuity to two things. The first is the house of David. David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. This is in keeping with the Davidic covenant. God has promised that the house of David will always be preserved. To this day, although we do not know who they are, there are descendants of the house of David on this earth. Someday God will reveal who they are. Furthermore, it is impossible for the line of David to become extinct because, as the previous passage promised, the line of David comes eventually to a person who is himself eternal, the Messiah, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus now lives forever by virtue of his resurrection, there will always be someone to rule over the house of Israel. Jesus has been available since his resurrection, and he is the one destined to sit on the throne of David someday. Dear friend, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue looking at the prophetic passages of the Holy Bible in our next broadcast and podcast. Our second coming quote for today is from John Henry Newman. He said, "Do you know the feeling in matters of this life of expecting a friend, expecting him to come and he delays? Do you know what it is to be in anxiety lest something should happen which may happen or may not, or to be in suspense about some important event which makes your heart beat when you are reminded of it, and of which you think the first thing in the morning? Do you know what it is to have a friend in a distant country, to expect news of him, and to wonder from day to day what he is now doing and whether he is well? Do you know what it is so to live upon a person who is present to you, that your eyes follow his, that you read his soul, that you see all his changes in his countenance, that you anticipate his wishes, that you smile in his smile and are sad in his sadness and are downcast when he is vexed and rejoice in his successes? To watch for Christ is a feeling such as all these, as far as feelings of this world are fit to shadow out those of another. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you and on your second coming, the blessed hope, and help us, Lord, to live accordingly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready. Get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.